talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 96. I've got Will and Henry here with me.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, boys?
Pretty good.
Yeah, good.
Both of you are getting over colds.
So yeah.
We're going to try to avoid coughing into the microphones.
I'm mostly over it.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a cold over the weekend, too. So I think our whole family has been having colds.
Seems like whenever one person gets sick, like, pretty much always someone else in the family gets sick after that.
It's just a wave.
It's the way contagious diseases work, right? Mm. There's been a lot of people at work sick, too. I think it's just a lot of sickness going around.
Yeah.
A lot of sickness in this world. A lot of colds, a lot of head colds, especially.
I used to only get sick like once or twice a year, but I think this year, like, homework has made it so I'm like a lot tired, like, more frequently. So I think that's made me sick more often.
Yeah, me too. I was been staying up late working, and I think that just wears my body down, and I get tired. And when you're tired, it's harder to fight off a cold.
When I was little, I used to be jealous of my sisters who gained to stay up late to do homework. And now I know what it's actually like, and it's like the worst feeling in the world.
Having to stay up and do homework. Yeah, it's like staying up and watching a movie and partying, you know, and eating snacks. That's good. Staying up late because you have to do homework that you wish you had have done, like, hours ago is not so much fun.
Yeah, and just, like, staring at the computer screen for hours as it gets darker and darker.
Actually, when you're younger, you're like, I want to get up super early and go to bed super late. I want to have a later bedtime. But then as you go on life, it's just like, yeah, I definitely need sleep. And even more on life, it's just like, I need so much sleep.
I used to always want a later bedtime, but now I have a 9 o'clock bedtime, and I think I'm fine like this.
Yeah. So, anything exciting going on for either one of you?
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of funny. I was kind of wondering if my voice had actually gotten any deeper throughout middle school. So I listened to one of the latest podcasts and I compared it to episode one where I was like, hey guys, I'm William.
I was thinking we should do that on the podcast sometimes. Like we can play like what your voice sounded like in the early days of the podcast compared to what it sounds like now.
Wait, I already know how to make an impression of what I sound like in the first episode. Hey, I'm Henry and I sound like Dish.
You never sounded like that.
I sounded so high-pitched.
No, you didn't sound like that.
I kind of did.
In episode one, I sounded so high-pitched.
I don't think you ever had, like, a lisp or anything.
It's always weird to, like, meet friends you haven't met in a long time in middle school, and they suddenly have, like, this really deep voice.
Yeah, your voice has gotten a lot deeper lately.
Mm. Yeah.
I think probably your voice has changed more than Henry's voice.
I can no longer. I used to be able to talk in like a super high pitched voice, but I can like no longer hit the pitch. Like,
and I think when Henry is your age, his voice will have changed too. But
yeah,
especially when you get to be like 14-year-old boy.
Also, yeah. Listening to the podcast, like, you know how you think that you're deeper than you are, and that's why to you you sound deeper. Well, gradually, to me, I've sounded more and more higher pitched because I've listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. My voice in my head is way more deep than what it sounds like when I'm actually hearing it. But now I'm more used to hearing my voice because of the podcast. So.
And we wear headphones.
It doesn't disturb me as much.
Another thing that happened. So last Saturday, I went to a church dance, which they have like about every month for 14 and older.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there and I went with my friends, we noticed there was a person like during this one song who like got up and started crowd surfing. And yeah, I haven't ever seen that.
Crowd surfing? Really?
Yeah, like they were just like hopping along the top of the crowd.
They were crowd surfing at a church dance?
Yeah, that kind of stuff usually doesn't happen. It's where, like, you know, in cartoons when people, like, get on top of a crowd and just start, like, rolling around.
So, like, when I was, I guess, in college is when crowd surfing was the most popular. So like you get, so you're like at a big rock concert and there's a big crowd in front, and then like someone from the stage will like jump off the stage and everyone in the crowd will sort of pass them around.
But oh, yeah.
That's crowd surfing, when like someone is on top of the crowd and everyone's kind of got their hands underneath them and they're moving around.
Until now, I didn't really know that that actually happened.
That's yeah. really funny. I can't believe that happened at a church dance. That's so, so hilarious.
I wonder what kind of stuff you could do while crowd surfing. Like you could like bring a carpet and ride on like a magic carpet over a crowd.
I always thought crowd surfing would be really scary because what if the crowd just suddenly goes, whoops, and drops you, you know?
It does seem like a crowd, they pass you to someone who's like,
I don't want to do this. I'm
just going to. There's a lot of people. That's why it's called crowd surfing.
Yeah. But the crowd can always, you know, move around and just, what if you hit a soft spot in the crowd and they just drop you on your butt?
Well, someone kidnaps you while you're crowd surfing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time there's a church dance, which is about like every couple.
What if someone pinches you? They just like reach up there and pinch you really hard.
There's a church dance usually like every couple of months. And every time it happens, there's always something crazy that happens.
Yeah.
What was it last time?
Usually not that crazy, but.
Anything else crazy besides the crowd surfing?
Not really. I noticed for some reason. Oh, yeah. They played Smash Mouth All-Star, and I watched enough memes to recite the entire song.
Yeah, I swear that song is more popular now than it was when it was popular.
It's because Shrek screwed it up.
I think it's because Shrek, and then because Shrek memes, and then because All-Star memes based on Shrek.
Someone photoshopped the Twitter bio of Smash Mouth to be, "Stupid Shrek, we're going to be the next Beatles until you screwed us up."
I don't know if that ever would have happened. Actually, I think Shrek made them more popular than they were. They weren't like a super popular band. They had like three or four popular songs. But I think if it hadn't have been for Shrek, everyone would have pretty much forgotten them by now.
I've only heard like two of their songs, but they do actually sound pretty decent.
I don't really like them because I got sick of those songs when they were popular. But
well, now they're like 10 times
more popular.
I understand
that the kids like them.
I don't remember when they were popular, so
yeah, you weren't alive when they were popular.
Yeah, so it's just a meme.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is alive when they're popular right now.
Exactly. What else is going on? I recently decided that I am going to really hunker down and study Japanese again. Mm. Do you ever use the expression hunker down?
What does
Probably
it mean?
Not, huh? It just means like, I don't know, hunker down. It's like, I'm going to get serious. I'm going to really...
Oh, okay.
Dig in.
You should turn back on your phone so you can play the clapping drop. Oh, wait, you have two other phones, and then there's a third phone that you're using that I can't see right now. Okay.
I know, I got too many phones going on here. So, like a couple years ago, I decided to study Japanese more seriously after many, many years. You know, I learned it when I lived in Japan like 25 years ago. And then, you know, I studied it a little bit in college, and then I kind of forgot a lot of my Japanese. But a few years ago when I was after I went back to Japan with mom the first time, it made me way more interested in Japanese. So I came home and I really studied, and I did something called the Japanese Language Proficiency Test. And there's five levels to it. Like there's level N1, N2, N3, N4, and N5. I always have to remember how this goes. N5 is the hardest. N3 is like the medium one, and N1 is actually easiest. No, wait. Have I got that backwards? I always forget that. Yes, I did have it backwards. N1 is actually the hardest. N3 is the middle one. And when I decided that I was going to study Japanese, I signed up to take the N3 test. So it's the medium one. Like intermediate Japanese, because I figured I haven't studied it for a long, long time. I can't just jump in and take the hardest test right away. And it's only offered once a year, and it's only offered in certain cities. So I had to travel to Houston to take it. And it was a long test, and I drove to Houston, stayed in a hotel, got up the next morning, took the test, and got the results later, and I passed it. And now, that was a couple years ago. This year, I think I want to try to take the N2 test. And the N2 test is kind of like, if you can take the N2 test, you're kind of considered like you can speak Japanese really well. N1 is like you're expert at it. It's really hard. N2 is pretty hard, but that's the one I'm going to study for. So I've been studying like a whole bunch, and I bought some Japanese study books. So I want to take the Japanese language proficiency test N2. Is this a boring story?
No.
Seems like My friends keep on calling me a weeaboo for all of this.
I don't know if that's an offensive term, so I don't know if we should say that on the podcast or not.
It just means you're into anime.
Just someone who really likes Japanese culture.
Yeah, there's a person who, to prove their point, he always brings a Korean lunch, and he like said, like, here, try this. And then I ate it, and he said, weeaboo.
So is it like Korean too? I don't know what that word means. It feels like it might be a little offensive.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know if it's offensive or not because it's not a word I'm familiar with.
I need to stop talking.
No, I've heard the word otaku, which is like, that's a word that actually comes from Japan. Like in Japan, they use it. It's like someone who's kind of geeky and stays around the house all day playing video games and watching anime and reading comic books. So otaku, and sometimes they use it here too. Like someone's an otaku. It means like you're someone who stays around the house a lot. Like otaku means a house. But I don't know if weeboo is offensive.
But yeah.
But we like a lot of Japanese culture. But a lot of people like a lot of Japanese culture. And partly it's because I lived in Japan and I speak Japanese.
Yeah. My one rule is...
I'm kind of excited about trying to take the next test. I don't know whether I'm going to pass or not. I think if I study really hard, I can pass it. But it's going to be a challenge. I'm going to have to study a lot between now and then.
Languages like Japanese and other languages in Asia make you really realize that English is a really simple language. Like, it's not as being, like, this really, like, complicated and weird language, but really,
well,
it's only 26 letters.
It depends on you.
I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit.
Depends on which language you're comparing it to. If you're comparing it to Japanese, and it's kind of simple. If you're comparing it to, like, some sort of European language that's not English, then it's really, really complex.
I think English would be a hard language to learn for a couple of reasons. One, like, it's got lots of crazy different languages that are combined in it. So a lot of the rules in English don't really follow rules. There's tons of exceptions to every rule.
I have four E except after C, and thus it makes the sound of A, and thus it's making the sound of E, unless it's making like a million other sounds.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot of vowel sounds. There's way more vowel sounds. Like there's actually way more sounds in English than there are in Japanese.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like Japanese, the written language is super hard. That's what makes it really, really hard is that there's lots of different Chinese characters to learn and lots of different, and there's two different alphabets that are phonetic. That's the really hard part about Japanese. And there are other things that make it hard,
but yeah,
I think English wouldn't be the easiest language to learn.
But I mean, yeah, the grammatical and phonetic stuff is a little complicated, but it's like all spaced out lettering with only 26 letters. It doesn't have any weird like alignments of characters or anything.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, but Spanish has that, and Spanish is easier, I think.
Maybe
yeah,
just the Roman alphabet is generally pretty simple.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, I'd like to say that in some languages, like... letters are combined, so it gets really confusing.
Yeah, I think one time in sixth grade, like towards the end of the year, when we didn't really have that much in the curriculum, our social studies teacher taught us how to write Hindi, but it was like really complicated.
No, that would be interesting. I think what makes English hard is because the same letter can have way different sounds. Like think about it, even like G has different sounds, or
yeah,
the letter C has different sounds.
A yeah. Especially.
Well,
like,
the vowels especially,
could be,
yeah. All the vowels have different sounds.
A, like
even
what is
o?
The sorcery? Yeah.
All kinds of weird things. But like in Spanish, letters really only have one sound. Like if you see the way the word is written, you know exactly how it's pronounced.
Yeah, like double L equals U.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think there are much easier languages than English. I'm kind of glad that I know English already, so I didn't have to learn it. But one of the things I do like about Japanese is because it's so darn hard that it's like a challenge. It's like the language equivalent of running a marathon.
What's really weird to me is, so obviously if someone's from a different country, then they're going to have an accent of that country. But if it's a country that speaks a different language, when you speak another language, you're supposed to do it with an accent of that language. So why do you still have the accent of your own country when you speak that language? You know?
I don't know. There's some funny YouTube videos you can watch that are like, what different languages sound like with accents. Like what Americans sound like to Japanese people or what Americans sound like to English people. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it seems weird to me.
It is weird that like you can have an American accent and learn to speak Chinese, and you'll speak Chinese with an American accent.
It is kind of interesting to, like, compare accents near different regions, like how, like, the Canadian accent is, like, really similar to the American accent, or, like, there's a lot of European accents that are close together that sound really similar.
Yeah.
Somehow England got, like, 50 different accents, even though they have, like, a really small territory.
Yeah, that's what's interesting is, you know, we all think of an English accent. We probably think of what would basically be a London accent. But there are a whole bunch of English accents, depending on where you are in England.
Yeah. It's really weird since it's such a small territory. I mean, I get that it's, like, really populated, but
I think it's because it's been around so long. Like, the longer you've been around, the more varied the language gets.
That's true.
I do have a Maisie update.
Totally sounds like it's in real life.
I know. So I took Maisie to the vet. She was kind of overdue for a vet visit. We needed to get her some pet meds. And I took her. Our vet closed down. Our vet clinic, like, closed down and went away. It's not there anymore. She used to go to this place called Paw Prints Clinic. But it died. It's closed. I don't know what happened to our vet. So we can't take her back there. And instead, I decided I'll just take her to Petco. To the vet clinic there. And so I got her in the car, put her on a leash, and let her walk around Petco, waiting for her to get, like, her shots and her medication and weigh her and check her out. Good news is she seems to be in good health. But walking around that store, she loved it, but it also was, she was, like, super crazy. She was crazy Maisie. She would see a giant dog. Like, there was a mastiff. You know what a mastiff looks like?
Yeah.
Mastiffs are, like, super wide and super tall. And as soon as she saw it, she wanted to go over there and attack it. And I was like, Maisie, that dog is 300 times as big as you are. It could probably swat you away with its paw and kill you.
Dogs have, like, no concept of how big they are.
It's true.
Yeah, Maisie is a Boston Terrier, but she's even small for a Boston Terrier.
Yeah.
She's a pretty tiny dog, but it didn't matter how big the dog was. She just wanted to go over there and bark at it.
We kind of went from having, like, a big Boston Terrier to a small Boston Terrier. So.
Although, if she sees a dog that's smaller than hers, then she'll actually be friendly.
Lately, she's been really annoyed when, like, someone walks their dog in front of her house, and she freaks the heck out.
She's like, get off my lawn!
Like, she already gets a little nervous whenever there's just a normal person just walking along the sidewalk. But
if they have a dog with them? She will just bark, and she gets up on the couch in the music room so she can look out the front window and just barks like crazy.
She barks and whimpers.
Yeah. Growls a little bit, and it's just like, you can tell she's just outraged that they would have the nerve to walk past her house.
This one time I wore, like, a, like, last minute Halloween costume for a Halloween party that was, like, sunglasses and mustache and a hat, and Maisie started barking at me.
Yeah, you were in all black.
Have we talked about that on the podcast before?
Yeah.
Did we talk about it? I can't remember. But
I think we did.
I don't know.
Because you were like, what was your costume? It was like creepy guy?
Yeah, it was like a incognito guy.
Just a suspicious guy.
Guy in disguise. So you had like a mustache and sunglasses.
I had to like take it off and put it back on for Maisie to stop barking at me.
Because she thought you were a stranger, a creepy guy.
He had a hat on too. So he was pretty much,
And Maisie did not like it. I wasn't home at the time. I think I was on a trip or some business trip or something.
Maisie, I don't know if we said this on the podcast before. Maisie kind of split personalities, lazy Maisie and crazy Maisie. Right now she's lazy Maisie.
Yep, she's chilling.
Oh, she looks so cute.
She is very much lazy Maisie right now. Let's see if I can get a picture of lazy Maisie. I will post it. So people can see what Lazy Maisie looks like while we're podcasting. Yep, but at Petco, she was definitely Crazy Maisie. She was just out of control. And every time, like, she'd see a dog, I'd have to kind of, like, walk her around another aisle where there wasn't a dog. But then a dog would come around the corner, and she would just, like, rush at it as hard as she could until the leash was, like, I felt like I was flying a kite. like she would just be up in the sky if she could.
Did she ever see any of the cats?
There weren't very many cats there. It was mostly dogs because they were doing a dog clinic, I guess. Oh, I don't know. I suppose people take their cats in for clinics too. But
I wonder how she'd react to cats. I mean, cats are smaller.
I think the same way. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of is a cat. So.
Plus, they're not the same species. I don't know.
I think dogs bother her more than cats, but I've never really seen her around cats, so I don't know.
Okay, and the one thing I really want to talk about is Infinity War. Infinity War is becoming, like, really close.
When does that come out?
Like, April 27th, I think?
Yeah.
Oh, this month, huh?
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was so close.
It used to be
9 days.
9 days, really?
No, wait.
Like 10 days, maybe.
Wait.
Well, today
I have to
is
think.
The 12th.
So
okay, so yeah.
15 days.
Yeah.
I bet, like, you know how when Black Panther came out, it, like, kept on beating records for the box office.
Yeah, now it's like the second biggest ever, I think.
Infinity War is probably going to like triple that.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think we'll definitely need to get tickets in advance.
Yeah, but we should see it for sure. I mean, it's going to be in every theater, so I'm sure we won't have trouble finding a theater that has it. But
it's kind of like the most anticipated movie ever.
For you?
No, I bet it's going to beat Black Panther. It's going to beat Black Panther. I just know it.
In the box office?
I don't know. Black Panther did really, really well.
It did crazy well. But I was thinking about how are they going to manage... I was thinking about how they're going to manage having so many characters. And then I looked at some of the posters and stuff, and I was like, well, there aren't as crazy as an amount of characters as I thought there were. There's like 20-something. And they'll have like... They'll have some of the side characters from the other films, like the librarian from Doctor Strange and a few warriors that were characters in Black Panther.
An entire army from Wakanda, as seen in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I think they can manage it, especially since they've been planning this for, like, years.
Okay, speculation time. I think... Some of the Avengers are going to die in this movie.
Definitely.
Which ones do you think will die?
Iron Man, because first of all, his contract's expiring. Second of all, he's going to retire soon. Third of all, this is the third reason. There are three reasons he's a really expensive actor to get.
Yeah.
So those are all like show business reasons for him to die.
Well, Iron Man.
Not a character.
Yeah,
but he needs to
retire soon.
He does need to stick around for the second Spider-Man movie, I think. But he is like 50-something years old, so.
Yeah, he's done a ton of, the actor Robert Downey Jr. has done a ton of Marvel movies, so he probably isn't going to keep doing them forever. And I think.
He was in the first Marvel
what
movie.
What I've heard, and I don't know how like official this is, but what I've heard is like in the future, it's going to be like a new generation of Avengers. So the ones that have been there through all the movies won't necessarily be there, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to. Get killed.
I think
Hawkeye's probably going to retire for like the fourth time.
Hawkeye's going to go back to his family.
You don't think Hawkeye is a candidate for maybe getting killed?
Yeah, I
hope not.
So I know that Thanos has only been shown with two different Infinity Stones in all his shots, but I still think Vision is going to die just because Vision's basically a plot device. I think like Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Spider-Man, etc. probably aren't going to die, but. I think in Avengers 4...
they're kind of the next generation, right?
You know, on the set for Avengers 4, the actor for Quicksilver was found. So
Black Panther won't die for sure, because that is a massive hit movie, so they have to make more of them.
Yeah, but I think in Avengers 4, there's going to be some sort of like rebirth of Avengers. So I think maybe a lot of Avengers will die, but then in Avengers 4, some will come back. And then
because Quicksilver is going to be in the fourth one.
But then they'll figure out that they like can't resurrect all of them, and at the end they'll have like this big funeral.
What about Captain America?
Captain America's obviously going to die. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, in the comics, Winter Soldier takes over as Captain America.
Well, the new Captain America.
I think it's going to happen.
Captain America's going to be like, oh, Tony Stark, it's you. And they'll like fight a bit, but then they'll eventually agree to fight with each other. And Captain America will die doing what's right.
Wait, they'll agree to fight with each other?
They'll agree to like fight like
alongside each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's
interesting. Make up their differences.
There's actually going to be, like, this pack of villains along with Thanos, the Black Order.
Yeah.
They actually...
I don't know what that means, but I've heard that.
This is actually talked about in a post-credit scene for the first Avengers movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a person was talking to Thanos about how, like, humans are stronger than they think, and they talk about... Or they, like, foreshadow this character called Death, who... Apparently in the comics, Thanos... impresses her by destroying half the universe by snapping his fingers.
Yeah. So, let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a very important news story. An organization called YouGov, which is a polling organization, released a poll on February 8th, 2018, to get an idea on Americans' concept of the shape of the Earth. So here's the questions.
No. Oh, no.
Here's the questions in the poll. Do you believe the world is round or flat?
I'm scared.
The options you could answer were, I have always believed the world is round. I always thought the world is round, but more recently, I am skeptical / have doubts. Or, I always thought the world was flat, but more recently, I'm skeptical / have doubts. Or, I have always believed the world is flat, or other / not sure.
Other? I bet the second to last one, the use of flat one, got a lot of voters.
The interesting thing, the reason this story has gotten a lot of publicity is because it varied a lot depending on how old you are.
And also because lately there's been like this group of people saying that the Earth is round, and it's like crazy. Like they're called round earthers, like the Round Earth Society.
Yeah,
and
triangle earthers.
We're going to talk about that in just a second. But if you had to guess, would you say that old people or young people are more likely to believe the Earth is flat?
Young people, because they want to be edgy.
You think?
No, old
people.
They're
just
people.
Trying to be
old
edgy
people.
And be a part of something.
Well, you're correct about that. Young people, especially millennials, were much more likely to believe that, or less likely to believe that the world is round. Only 66% of millennials said they have always believed the Earth is round.
Seriously, there aren't more people that believe in flat Earth? I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
But seriously, that's crazy. That is way too crazy.
This flat world has turned against us.
Yeah, so only 2/3 of the millennials that answered it answered that they've always believed the Earth is round. So in comparison, the people who are 55 years older, it was 94%. People my age, it was 85% said they've always believed the world is round.
Generation X, seriously?
There were 9% of the millennials said, I have always thought the world is round, but more recently I'm skeptical / have doubts. The one that cracks me up, and there weren't a lot in this category. Well, actually, there kind of were. 16% of millennials, so the second biggest category besides I've always believed the world is round, 16% said other / not sure. How can you not have an opinion on the shape of the world? That's almost worse than believing the world is flat. Like, I don't know. Like, I think what they're trying to say is,
like, anyone can even know that.
I mean, it's the shape of the world. Like, you've never thought about that before?
I don't know. I guess
it's triangular, duh.
We're gonna get, I wonder,
like,
if
there are satellites that go around the Earth, that orbit the Earth.
You don't have a lot of hate mail for calling the Earth round.
We're going to take a political stand. Usually we don't talk about politics here, but I'm going to take a firm political stand here.
The Earth
is a pear-shaped. I have always believed that the Earth is round.
People will...
Actually, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Mom about this story, and I was saying that the Earth is kind of like a squished ball.
Yeah, it's like slightly...
And she was like, what are you talking about? Because she never learned that in school, that it's like it's thicker in the middle, like around the equator.
Yeah, it's very slightly, not cubical.
Just a little bit. I think they call it like a great circle or something.
Very slightly, not cubical?
Or no.
Not spherical. Yeah. It's like a sphere, except it's squished, so it's like a little bit bigger around the middle, kind of like Dad. It's a little bit bigger around the equator than it is at the poles.
It's like me, but sideways.
And I think it has something to do with the fact that it's spinning, or maybe the way the world was created. I can't remember.
But it, what was I going to say? Yeah, people try to prove that the Earth is flat by like pouring water on a tennis ball and showing how the water drips off the tennis ball, and then pouring it on a plate and showing how the water stays on the plate. So that's how the oceans stay on the Earth, because gravity is a myth, I guess.
Yeah, and because reptiles. It's almost like if you pour water on the plate, then that's not because of gravity.
So the other thing besides age that seemed to be a factor in how people believed about the shape of the Earth was how much money the people make, like their income. if you earn more money, you're way more likely to believe that the earth is round and be very sure about that belief. If you earn less money, you're less sure about being round. I don't know why, but it's just an interesting thing about the poll.
I think Bill Gates should just go out and say that the earth is flat just to see what will happen.
I think people will just stop believing him.
Yeah.
I mean, most people believed him when he said that AI would kill the world.
I really want to know what Generation Z thinks about the shape of the earth, although I'm kind of scared.
The funny thing is, like, back in the, I don't know, the 80s and 90s, like, you had Bill Gates and you had Apple guy.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, sorry. Steve I don't Jobs. Know why I couldn't think of Steve Jobs. So you have Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. And, like, what everybody thought was, like, Steve Jobs is this cool guy. Bill Gates is this geeky guy. Steve Jobs is way cooler. But in retrospect, and Steve Jobs has died, so, you know, rest in peace. But in retrospect, now people are like, you know, Bill Gates is a pretty good dude. Like, he does a ton of things for charity. He's, like, very committed to, like, making the world a better place. Steve Jobs, it turns out, was kind of a jerk.
He didn't give his kids any of his products.
People who knew him said he was just kind of a jerk. They didn't really like... I mean, people were inspired by him, but they didn't like being around him. He could be just a real big jerk.
Yeah. Maybe it's because everyone was like, you're crazy. This will never happen. And then you actually made it. And then you want to be mean to them because it's like, ha-ha, I created and you said I wouldn't.
Yeah. I kind of think of him as like, if anyone watches The Flash, Harry Wells in season 2 of The Flash.
Yeah. Kind of a mad genius type.
Yeah,
thing.
he's like a genius, but he's like really easily irritable.
Yeah. Also, I think that Bill Gates is actually still nice towards Apple because his home runs on a Mac.
Well, yeah, everyone has to have some sort of Mac device. I mean, no, Apple device. It's fine. That's kind of what it's like in those Mac versus PC commercials. Like they always show the Mac as like the casual cool guy, and the PC as the computers guy.
The thing about those commercials, though, is like really the actors. Biased. So the actors, it's like Justin Long is the guy that plays the Apple. He's like kind of this young, good-looking guy. The guy who plays the PC is John Hodgman, who's actually a pretty cool guy. Like he's kind of a podcaster and a comedian. Podcasters are cool guys. Really, I kind of like John Hodgman more than I like Justin Long. So that sort of backfires for me personally.
The thing about Macs and PCs is I feel like Macs are bad at what PCs are good at, and PCs are bad at what Macs are good at. Like, they're just both good for different things. I use a Mac in my multimedia
class. These days,
I don't
think it matters that much. I think it mattered more back in the 80s and 90s. Now, I think all computers are pretty good.
Honestly, when those computers used to be really bad, now they're pretty good, though.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, in the 80s, oh no, it's Apple versus Windows. Now, oh no, it's Google way above Windows.
It was like, it was Mac versus PC, and then Linux was kind of in there. Now it's, it's Apple versus Windows, and Linux is kind of in there. Now it's basically Apple versus Google, and then like Amazon is kind of in there, I guess.
Who wants to read their story next?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, so mine
is, your story is really interesting.
Mine is really long, but I'll just kind of...
This is from, actually, kind of a couple weeks ago. I sort of held on to this story because I didn't get a chance to give it, but it's a really interesting story.
Mine is kind of long, but I'll just kind of paraphrase.
Okay.
The title is Miraculous. Teen survives 12 hours in Los Angeles sewage. So basically, a 13-year-old boy fell into a sewage system, and he was able to... The rescuers found, like, handprints on the sewage pipes. They were able to find him. But he was able to survive 12 hours and... Because he was, like, super strong and was able to overcome all of it. And they were able to rescue him. He had some health problems afterwards. But other than that, he was pretty okay.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Underneath the city of Los Angeles, I guess he went missing around this area called Echo Park. And basically fell down a drainage pipe. But underneath the city of Los Angeles, there's like these big mazes full of underground sewer pipes. And usually if someone gets lost down there, there's like no chance of finding them. But it's really cool the way they found him. Did you read how they found him?
Oh.
Like what they did to try and find him?
Let's see. It says they never gave up hope and they wanted to bring Jesse back to his family. So they found him less than a mile from where he disappeared.
And what did they use to find him? Do you remember that?
I'm figuring it out.
It's a long article, so you might have to search.
They basically used drones. So they flew drones around and inspected the pipes, and they just monitor it. They went through like every pipe to see if they could find him. And they eventually they found him, and they were able to like go down and pull him up. I think they dropped a rope down or something.
I don't know why I find this insignificant detail so funny, but it says that's a dank sewer pipe.
It was a dank sewer pipe. And they said, you know, it can be really, really dangerous. He was lucky because he found a place that had, like, good air to breathe. Because a lot of places down there, like, the air is toxic, and so that'll kill you. Or you'll drown because you're in a place where you just can't, you know, there's not enough place. You're underwater. But how scary would that be, like, be in a sewer pipe lost for, like, 12 hours, not knowing if anyone was going to be able to come find you?
Yeah. He must have been really hungry, yeah. too.
Yeah.
He must have gotten, like, super hungry.
Insane.
I don't know. If that happened to me when I got home, I'd eat like 2 sandwiches and then shower for like half an hour.
I think I'd stay in the shower for like a half a day just to get all that sewer off me.
Yeah.
But he was strong and he made it. And so it's a good story.
12 yeah, hours in really the sewer, 12 hours in the shower.
Yeah. I mean, they say in the article that even after like 1 hour, it makes it way harder to find the person because they can travel a long ways down in the sewer because stuff's moving around down there. And it's just hard. There's so many different possibilities of where he could end up that it's difficult.
It could be like an it's Uber. It could be like a new app for Uber called like Uber Sewer Pipes.
What's people the name? What's the kid's name?
Jesse.
Jesse? What's his last name?
Jesse Hernandez.
Jesse Hernandez. So Jesse Hernandez, congratulations. You did it. Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations to all the rescue workers that found him.
They could just call an Uber driver. And they'd, okay, where are you? I'm in the sewers.
I don't think his phone was working. Mm. That's my guess. That would have made it easier maybe to find him, or at least to know that he was still alive.
I think technology would make it a lot easier, though, if he had service.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just call an Uber. It's so easy.
All right, Henry, do you have a story for us?
Uber alligator.
Yes. Wait, I saw something. Sewer maps. It's like Google Maps, but sewer maps.
Yeah.
Anyways, my story has to do with something very political and important. Oregon Bakery cooks up world's largest cinnamon roll. On April 12th, an Oregon bakery shattered Guinness World Record by spending 11 hours cooking up a 1,149-pound cinnamon roll.
That is a huge cinnamon roll.
They used 100 workers and volunteers. Which, by the way, is bigger than the 609-pound roll that previously held the record.
So just by comparison, a normal cinnamon roll takes about 15 minutes to bake. This one took 11 hours.
I don't get not just to this. Bake. I don't get how people do this, though, because like, how do they cook it? It's so big.
Yeah, they must have had that giant oven. How would they even get it in the oven? Something that weighs like over 1,000 pounds?
They could.
That would be tough.
They could like design an oven that has a conveyor belt where like it would go through the oven and then go and pass through. So it could just like, they could just keep on sliding it through the oven, I guess.
Yeah.
Or they could have just like a giant hot room.
Anyways, basically, someone just decided that ran their Wolfman's Gourmet Baked Goods company, which is owned by Harry and David. It's the company Harry and David. Anyway, someone who ran that bakery decided, hey, we should break the record because Cinnamon Roll Day. For all of our food-related attempts, part of our requirements is that the food item in its entirety must be eaten, so we must ensure that none of the food is wasted or thrown out, she said. The bakery and pieces of the record-breaking roll will be served during the weekend at the town's Pear Blossom Festival. So basically, you can get just a huge piece of cinnamon roll.
Yeah, I feel like this is the proper way to celebrate useless food holidays.
No, it's pear. It's the Pear Blossom Festival. Okay, yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but it was the Cinnamon Day.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, normally food holidays seem kind of dumb, like Butterscotch Pudding Day, Hot Dog
Week. Month. It was month.
Waffle Day.
I like Cinnamon Roll Day. That's something I could get behind. Especially if someone's going to bake a... How big was it exactly? Oh, I know it was over 1,000 pounds.
I don't know how large it was, but...
I've noticed...
It says that's 1,149 pounds, so...
We kind of have a tradition of baking cinnamon rolls on special events. I noticed we always bake cinnamon rolls on days where you don't have to go to something. So, like if we have a day off from school or if there's a snow day, we always bake cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, the thing is cinnamon rolls take a little bit of time to make, so I don't ever want to wake up super early in the morning and make them. That's why I only make them when it's like a weekend or something like that.
Wait, you this and... is over... Wait, it's over...
Both you and Phoebe make really good cinnamon rolls. I think Phoebe's made cinnamon rolls before.
It's over 1,000... No, 100 times my weight.
Yeah.
I'm about 70 pounds, so...
But...
Yeah, that is a huge cinnamon roll. I'll show you pictures. I think you've got a couple pictures there. Maybe I'll post some pictures to our social media.
But yeah.
It is... Huge, and it looks like it's got like hundreds of rolls. Like they rolled it and rolled it and rolled it. So the big cinnamon rolls is like, it's like, have you ever seen like a giant like redwood tree or a sequoia? And they cut it in half and it's got like 1,000 rings. That's what the cinnamon roll looks like.
I feel like before
I
now.
I want to see the cinnamon roll because there's no picture.
Before now, I was kind of like anti-national holidays just because... They get so, like, weirdly specific, like, High Five Day or Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Like, or it's Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Henry, it's High Five Day. Want to give me a high five?
They had Sibling Day here just a little while ago. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, that's on a good Phoebe's holiday. Birthday, okay?
Oh, that's Phoebe's birthday, really?
Yeah.
Your sibling's birthday is on Sibling Day? That's
yes.
Funny.
Sibling's Day is a good holiday, since we don't really have, like, a like big holiday for that in the United States. But... Yeah, this is the proper way to celebrate a national holiday.
Phoebe had a birthday. She's now 18 years old, which means she can be tried as an adult.
She can also...
So she needs to be careful.
She can also
order...
She needs
to change her ways.
She can order all of those products and infomercials.
Must be 18 or older to order.
Yep, you know why that is?
Why?
I learned that in law school. That's one of the few things I actually learned in law school. Because in contract law, there's this idea that one of the things you need to form a valid contract is you need to be competent. So if you are crazy or if you are a child, you can't be competent to have a contract. So if someone made a contract with you guys and you signed a contract, they couldn't hold the they couldn't enforce the contract against you because you're under 18. When you're 18, you're legally competent to sign a contract. That's why they always say that on commercials, like, open to people 18 or older.
Wait, what do you mean that was one of the few things they learned in law school?
Well, law school, it's weird. They don't really teach you things. It's more like they teach you how lawyers think. They don't teach you a lot of facts. It's a little strange that way.
It actually sounds kind of interesting.
They can't teach you teach you how to analyze things in a legal way. So you do learn that, but you don't learn a lot of actual things about the law. So like when I was in law school, like... the O.J. Simpson trial. Have you heard about that?
Mm-mm.
The O.J. Simpson trial was going. That was like a big deal back then. So there was this professional athlete named O.J. Simpson who was like a very popular professional athlete. And then when he retired from playing football, he was an actor and a celebrity. And he was accused of killing his ex-wife, Nicole Simpson, and of murdering her and stabbing her to death.
It's crazy.
And the trial was like a really big deal and everyone was paying attention to it. And that was happening while I was in law school.
So
like my family members would call me and say, hey, have you been watching the O.J. Simpson trial? Which I didn't really because I was in law school. And then they would say like, so what do you think about this? What do you think about all these rulings and about, do you think they're right about the law? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm in law school, but I'm not learning actual law.
Wait, was he found guilty?
In the criminal trial, he was found not guilty. Even though there was a bunch of evidence against him, he had like really high priced attorneys working for him, including Robert Kardashian, which was the Kardashian, the father of the Kardashian family, was one of his lawyers.
Maybe that's how they're famous. I have no idea.
That was one of the reasons they became famous. Yeah. But, and then he got sued civilly. So there was a civil lawsuit brought against him. And then the civil trial, he was found to be liable. So the civil jury decided that he did it and he was liable. But there's a different standard of proof in a criminal trial and a civil trial.
Was law school interesting?
Yeah, law school is interesting in a lot of ways, but you don't learn like a lot of like facts. A lot of people assume that you just learn about the law and you don't really. Like you don't come out of law school going, hey, I know everything there is to know about the law. It's more like they teach you how to analyze things in the law.
I've got a question. Did he actually stab his wife to death?
Probably. I mean, you know, he was found not guilty, but that just means that the jury didn't find that he was proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But there was a lot of evidence, including DNA evidence, that he did it.
Apparently there are some, and you might know more about this than I do, but apparently there are some jury trial against, like, someone who had multiple identity disorder, and it was like a trial against someone's other personality.
Oh, I don't know much about that.
I don't know. I'll have to do more research on that, but...
Yeah. Let's do a segment we haven't done in a little while. Let's do hypothetical. What I just said was only hypothetical. Oh. All right, I've got some hypothetical questions for us. These mainly came from the website hypothetical-questions.com, although I tweaked them a little bit to make them a little bit more interesting. So on that website, people can just submit their own hypothetical questions, and here are some ones that I found. The first one is, would you rather be 3.5 feet tall or 10 feet tall, and how would your life change with your decision? So it's assuming, like, that's as tall as you're ever going to be. Like, you're not just 3.5 feet tall now, but, like, as a full-grown adult, you'll be 3.5 feet or you'll be 10 feet. Which would you rather be?
So wait, this is actually a hypothetical either or.
It's also a, yeah, it's an either or. It's also a would you rather.
You didn't do the drop. Okay.
I mean, I'd become rich and famous. Maybe not rich, but I'd be famous if I were 10 feet, but that'd be annoying because I'd just, like, not fit through doors.
Yeah, and some rooms would be too small for you.
3.5 feet would,
like,
be...
Like, if it's a low ceiling, you'd always be bumping your head on the ceiling.
3.5 feet would be annoying too, though.
You would have to buy a special bed. If you're 10 feet tall.
But 3.5 feet,
you would have to buy special clothes, too, because no one's going to make clothes for someone who's 10 feet tall. If you're 3.5 feet tall, at least you could wear, like, kids' clothes.
Yeah, but when you're 3.5 feet tall, for some reason, it really irritates me when people think that I'm in... I was a kid in my parkour class who thought I was in fifth grade when I asked him.
Yeah.
Like, when people, like, judge your age by your height.
If you're 10 feet tall, that means your head would be the same height as a basketball rim.
You couldn't ride any slides or
roller. Like, you could dunk without even leaving, like, flat-footed. You could dunk a basketball.
If you're 3.5 feet, you couldn't ride any slides or roller coasters. So,
if you were 10 feet tall, you could never go out in public without people staring at you. Maybe that's true if you're 3.5 feet tall too, though.
If you're 10 feet tall, you probably also couldn't ride a lot of roller coasters or slides because their weight limit.
There are people that are actually 3.5 feet tall, so I don't think they'd stare at you.
I think I prefer 10 feet tall.
I think I would prefer 3.5, just because 10 feet sounds cool, but I think it would be a real pain. It would be really difficult. You'd always be having to, like, stoop over. If you visited any place where they didn't have high ceilings, like, a lot of places have just 10-foot ceilings, so your head would be against the ceiling.
Sometimes really tall people get rocks thrown at them. Okay, yeah, no one's going to get that joke, but whatever.
David and Goliath. Is that a David and Goliath joke?
Yeah.
I get it.
So that's one disadvantage. Oh, no. Oh, that's a better drop.
I think I would choose 3.5 feet. Now there's disadvantages to being 3.5 feet. But there are people that are, you know, that are short or little people that don't.
Hobbits.
Yeah. Or just, you know, dwarfs. People that, that's how tall they are.
Yeah, dwarfs sound like something that's just in, like, a, it's just in a, like, Dungeons
novel.
And Dragons or fantasy novel.
Yeah, but there's an actual thing called dwarfism, yeah. So people that are just that size. But I think I'd rather be that size than 10 feet would just be really difficult. It would cause... Like, you would have to buy a special bed, special clothes. You know, if you're 3.5 feet tall, you could sleep in a regular bed. And it's no big deal.
I'm pretty sure the tallest person ever recorded was only 8 feet, so...
Yeah, I think that's right. And you see, like, in the NBA, you see people that are 7 feet tall, but...
Yeah, there's a video of someone,
no one's ever been 10 feet, as far as I know.
There's a video of the tallest man ever meeting the shortest man ever, and it was, like, the shortest man ever could, like, grab the tallest man ever's... Or the tallest man's... entire finger with his hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
Yeah. All right, next hypothetical. If you have the ability to give your pet the let me rephrase this because I didn't write it very well. If you were able to give your pet the ability to talk, would you, and why?
I would.
Maisie's right over there, asleep on the couch.
I would, because then I know what they want and, like, what they think. Although they might... Although Maisie... She might swear a lot. That's one thing to consider.
Yeah, what if she had a dirty mouth?
The thing
she,
is...
She, like, used a lot of profanity.
It's like in...
That'd be embarrassing.
It's like in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, where Raccoon is like, let me talk to you, Groot, about your language. When, yeah. But I think the thing is... There's a sitcom on Disney Channel called Dog with a Blog about a dog that talks, but for some reason, just because he could talk, he could also be just as smart as humans.
No. He could talk because he was extra smart, which being smart doesn't change your vocal cords.
I feel like maybe we've done this question before, like early in the podcast.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Or something like it. Because your point, like, just because they can talk doesn't mean they're as smart as us. Maybe she can talk, but she's really annoying and says stupid things all the time.
Yeah, there's a Gary Larson comic, or a Far Side comic, where someone, like, invented a machine that could listen to dogs' thoughts, but all of them were just saying, hey, 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 hey.
Yeah, I think, you know, Maisie, bless her heart, she's a good dog, using capital D. Capital G, capital D, good dog. But she can be a little annoying. Maybe if she talked, she'd be even more annoying.
It's like in Portal, when you detach this intelligence core that like affects a robot's intelligence. It's called like the curiosity core, and all it'll say is like, who are you? What's that? Ooh, look at that thing. Look at that thing. I feel like that's what dogs would be like.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think this is a hard question for me to answer, but I think I would say no. I would not give her the ability to talk.
Would the dogs respond back? And if you talk to them?
Well, dogs can understand a bit of English or a bit of the language that they grew up
with.
Yeah,
I think you have to assume if it can talk, it can also understand you.
Okay, then like yes.
I think we've always kind of known that dogs can understand a couple words, but I think they can understand a bit of what you're saying.
It seems like when I was a kid, when like sci-fi movies that came out in the 70s and 80s, like if someone had a unique ability, then that meant that scientists were going to come and kidnap you and study you. So maybe we'd have to worry about like mad scientists capturing her and taking her to a lab to study her.
That was also the FBI
would be helping them out.
That was also
the government and the scientists would be conspiring to take your pet
then
away from
you. Join the FBI.
But the scientist thing was also a semi-plot line in Dog with a Blog.
I talked to an FBI agent today. Do you know that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool. Well, that was like a show that like everyone watched when you were in fifth grade. But I think I would give it to Maisie. The thing is, dogs, I feel like a lot of times dogs know what you're saying, but they'll ignore you a lot. So I feel like if Maisie could talk, she wouldn't always talk, you know?
I don't know. She might. She wouldn't when she's lazy Maisie, but when she's crazy Maisie, she probably would never shut up.
Also, this is assuming that she could also bark. So.
Yeah. Would the bark suddenly be words? Or would she bark and talk? Mm-hmm. Does Dog with a Blog bark?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, rarely, but...
Mm. All right. Last hypothetical. You become a famous chef and have a signature dish. The name of the dish is your name. From now on, instead of calling the dish what it was previously known as, they call it a Henry or a Will. For example, if your dish was a peanut butter sandwich, everyone would suddenly call it a Will or a Henry. Number one, the first part of this question is, what would you want your dish to be?
I want my dish...
Sushi. It's my favorite thing, so...
So from now on, instead of calling it sushi, everyone would say, hey, you want to go get some Henry?
I want my dish to be, like, extremely obscure, like the most obscure food ever, so that way people will never use it.
No,
like,
wait.
Macaroni and cheese?
No, like boiled something really specific, like... Like orange
asparagus boiled to 2,000 degrees, burnt, revived, covered in salt, frozen, and then you remove all the salt, and then you put in sand.
Maybe like
but you don't like asparagus.
Maybe like
so?
Vegetarian.
Then no one will say it.
Maybe like vegetarian stromboli or like orange creamsicle flavored yogurt covered raisins. Something like really obscure like that. So that way people would never get confused.
Mine was the most obscure either.
So the next part of the question is, how would that make you feel if everyone is calling this dish by your name for the rest
of
your life?
Well, assuming that we're using my dish, no one would say it, so...
I feel like it'd be kind of on the same level as, like, if actually, like, my name is also a word, or, like, how everyone mispronounces their last name Blair, or something like that. I like how people always think that I'm right-handed.
Would it annoy you? Wouldn't you be proud of this dish, though, that you created and you were so good at making it that everyone started calling it by your name?
Yeah, but I think it would just be like that name thing. I feel like it would just be like a minor annoyance, but like not really. Just like however mispronounces our last name, Blair.
Yeah.
It would. I don't know. I might get sick of it eventually, though.
All right. Well, that is hypothetical. So there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you.
Hypothetical.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right. For treat yourself today, we have some candy. I think I mentioned on the podcast at least a couple of times that I am no longer eating candy except for on Treat Yourself. Because I'm not really eating it. I'm just tasting it and Treat Yourself.
So you have two kinds of candy here.
They're not really related to each other, but they're both in candy bags. The first one is one that Mom picked up for us at the store. She saw it and she said, hey, that'd be a good Treat Yourself. So she got it. It is Dr. Pepper flavor soft and chewy bite. So it's Dr. Pepper flavor licorice made with real Dr. Pepper. And the next one is a Japanese candy called Mitsuya Cider. So Mitsuya Cider is my favorite Japanese soda. And these hard candies, they're fizzy hard candies, and they are the flavors of Mitsuya soda. So one of them is cider flavor. So what Japanese people call cider is kind of like Sprite. There's also grape flavor, peach flavor, and something called sweet summer mekon, which is like a mandarin orange. So it's like sweet summer mandarin orange flavor. We're not going to try each flavor because it's getting kind of late and that would take a long time. But we're just going to try one each of this candy. And this was brought to us from Japan by our friends Alex and AJ.
Thank you very much.
They brought us other treats that we tried on the podcast. They went to Japan a little while ago, brought us back some candy.
Yeah, it's nice when the whole family goes to Japan.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
I mean, it is
expensive. All right, let's try the Dr. Pepper flavored licorice first. So I am going to pass these out and mute the mics, and then we'll come back and let you all know what we thought of them.
Our family really likes Dr. Pepper, and also it's really good flavor, so.
Yep, not a sponsor, but please sponsor us. All right. What do you think of Dr. Pepper flavored licorice?
I think that's borderline delicious. I feel like the texture doesn't quite work with it.
But. Yeah, the texture's not that great. I'm a big fan of licorice and chewy things, and I haven't been eating candy for a long time. So to me, it tastes really good because it's been a long time since I've had candy.
It's delicioso to me because I feel like with the texture, it's got licorice and then dipped it in Dr. Pepper, then dried it.
But I do feel like I need to be objective here. And it's not... To me, it's not quite delicioso. To me, it's just okay.
Okay.
For me, it's like borderline delicioso. I wonder...
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I know, like Dr. Pepper jelly beans have like a little bit of caffeine in them. I wonder if those
I like the Dr. Pepper jelly beans, especially the jelly bellies.
Yeah, the Dr. Pepper jelly bellies
These don't
are so
taste
good.
As good as that. Yeah. So the Dr. Pepper flavor is not as good as a Jelly Belly.
Dr. Pepper Jelly Belly is still good or better. I swear Dr. Pepper Jelly Belly is like better than the original drink.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try the Mitsuya Cider Fizzy Hard Candy.
Once again, thank you, Alex and AJ.
Thank you, Alex and AJ, very much. Do you have a preference which flavor? We're not going to try every flavor, but you can try the cider flavor, grape, peach, or sweet. Summer mandarin orange.
Just give me a random one.
Yeah, same.
Okay, I'm gonna try the cider flavor. Henry, you can try the orange. William, you want to try the peach?
Sure.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna mute the mic so we don't chew into them. What do we think of the Mitsuya cider hard candies from Japan?
They're really good. They're fizzy.
Yeah, that's delicioso, just like I'd like any other candy.
Yeah, delicious. Yum, it's yum, more yum, than yum, like yum. Any other candy. Delicioso. It's like better Pop Rocks.
They remind me of Zots. Have you ever had Zots?
I think I had that once at a candy store.
Sometimes they have them like old time candy stores. They had them when I was a kid. They've got that fizzy thing. Although I think with Zots, it was mostly in the middle of the candy.
I think Zots are a bit more fizzy.
They kind of make your tongue a little numb.
These were a bit. These were just a bit too hard. Like they're almost. Like,
yeah, they're super hard to crunch into.
Like most lollipops, like at least in America, are like just the right amount of crunchiness. But these are like just a bit too crunchy. Like not, they're not quite they're not quite like a jawbreaker, but they're like just a bit too hard to crunch.
Like in the gray area, and I kind of like that.
I mean, you can just suck on them; you don't have to crunch them.
Yeah, but
you're gonna crunch them, right?
I think that sucks.
So, but we agree these are all delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter.
Thank you, William, and thank you, Henry, for participating tonight. It was lots of fun. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you are listening, you can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
Smoke or
at
signals.
TalkToDadPodcast.com. You can, if you want to email us, you can email us at TalkToDadPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help us out, the one thing you can do that will probably help us out more than anything is to get on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that's does help us. You know, there are a lot of podcasts out there. The reason why podcasters ask for 5-star reviews is that helps to distinguish your podcast and make it easier for other people to find them among the hundreds and thousands of other podcasts out there. So this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.